right. I guess turn anywhere, it's all good. Actually, I want to lay a little bit of groundwork before I get to the message. And I hope it'll be an encouragement to you, if nothing else. I hope you'll get something out of it that'll be a help to you. But I'm going to preach it's more of a doctrinal message than I normally would preach. I usually try to stay away from that. I figure that's his business. And I try to just give you something to encourage you. But I hope tonight that even though it's a doctrinal message, I want to exalt Jesus Christ and lift him up. And let me say this, if you're here and through the course of this you don't agree with my theology, just check the scripture references I give you and pray about it. I'm not going to give you anything that's contrary to the book. This stuff that the Lord taught me early in my Christian life, and I believe it's stuff everybody ought to know. Young Christians ought to get grounded in it immediately, and if they do, it'll save them a lot of problems. But let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you again for this time. Thank you for the good singing. Pray now the Holy Spirit will be our guide, our teacher, our instructor. God, you know my heart. You know I want to be a blessing and a help. But Lord, more than that, I want to be true to you and your book. I want to preach the word the way you wrote it. And I pray now you'll just minister the word of God for your glory. Hide me behind Jesus Christ that he is exalted. Lord, forgive us our sins tonight. If there's anything in our life not pleasing to you, I pray you'll put your finger on it. Lord, convict us that we might confess it and get it right. But Lord, I pray now you'll exalt Jesus Christ and lift him up, for he's worthy. I ask it all in his name. Amen. Amen and amen. All right. Getting started, I mean, in this area, I'm really going to be preaching concerning the second advent of Jesus Christ. And I'll give you a title in a moment. You always got to have a title to a message. I mean, you can't preach without a title, I'm sure of that. But there are three basic theories about the second coming of Christ. And they're all three prevalent in this area. I learned that the hard way. I thought everybody believed the book, and when I began to talk to people about it, I discovered they don't. There are a lot of folks that don't agree with some of my theology. And I just thought, I mean, I read it, and I thought, man, that's great. And I found out real quick, like, a lot of folks got different ideas. But first of all, you have the amillennial theory, and that is, there ain't no millennial. Pretty simple. But the Bible refutes that and corrects it. Now, it's not a slam on anybody. There's a lot of good folks that believe a lot of different things, but it doesn't change what the Bible says. So this is not a question of anybody's character. It's a question of what the Word of God says. And Paul, in writing about this in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he said this, "We're to hold faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." Now, here's what they were teaching. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, he tells you what they were teaching. He says in verse 17, "And their word will eat as doth a canker," a cancer, "of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and they overthrow the faith of some." So what they were teaching is that it's all spiritual. When you get saved, you're born again, you're resurrected spiritually, that's the resurrection, and then somewhere down the line there'll be a general resurrection, a general judgment, God will settle all accounts, and that's that. And it's called amillennialism. And Paul says they've erred concerning the faith. So I'm sure that that theology is wrong, according to the Word of God. And he goes on to say, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." So that theory is out. Now, the second one is postmillennial. And that is, somehow or another, things are going to get better and better, and man's going to bring in some kind of peace for an indefinite period of time. 1,000 years really doesn't mean 1,000 years. It means an indefinite period of time, and according to where you're at. And so what's going to happen is man's going to improve things and it's going to get better, and eventually we'll have this era of peace, and then at the end of that there'll be a general resurrection, general judgment, and it's called postmillennial. And the problem with that is there ain't no post to lean on. The Lord Jesus Christ kept that post out. John chapter 11, Martha, the sister of Lazarus, was post-millennial. And Jesus said, "Thy brother shall rise again at the last in the resurrection." He tells her he's going to rise again. And here's what Martha says: "I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day." But you notice what Jesus said in John chapter 11, speaking on this subject. He said, "I know he'll rise again in the resurrection the last day." And Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Now that's two classes of people. You got some coming up before the last day, and those that are alive when that event takes place are just going to be changed and all go up to meet the Lord in the air. And so the post is gone. That's out. Now, that only leaves one. That's premillennial. And personally, I'm so premillennial, I can't eat post toasties, and that's the truth. And I came to that conclusion not by reading books by Dr. Smellfungus. The Holy Ghost of God revealed to me, first of all, this King James Bible is the Word of God. Now, I said I believe there's some things every believer ought to get grounded in. Now, you pardon me. At this doctrine, I may not get excited and yell and scream and walk on the seats or nothing, but this is good for you. It'll give you some good information. I lead somebody to Christ. I tell them, read 1 Thessalonians. Read it several times, because 1 Thessalonians is written to new believers. And in 1 Thessalonians, you're admonished, first of all, to accept the Word of God as it is in truth, the Word of God, not the words of men, and believe it. And if you'll do that, it'll effectually work in you. And secondly, he says you're to get grounded in the second coming of Jesus Christ. That ought to be one of the first things you learn. You ought to get grounded in it. You ought to know what you believe about it and why you believe it. You ought to be able to turn in here and show somebody. And if they're wrong, you ought to be able to show them why they're wrong. And that's not being a smart aleck. That's being true to the Word of God. That's what God called us to do. And so I just sat down and read it. And I was working the coal mines, man. We were way up here in the head of Smoky. And I was riding down to work with one of these jackleg preachers. And he's a good fellow, incidentally. And we got along fine up until this day. But we're riding from work up here in Smoky Junction. I mean in the junction. And I said, "Man, that's great. Revelation 19, Jesus Christ coming back on a white horse." And he stopped. And he said, "You get out. You're walking from here." And he's serious. He said, "You're not riding my vehicle talking like that. I won't have it." And man, I had to do some persuading to keep from having to walk home a long ways. So I found out real quick, like, not everybody agrees with this position. But it's the Bible position. Now, John is a type of the church. He said he was the disciple whom Jesus loved, right? In John 13, he said he loved them all unto the end. But John had a special place, just like the church. I mean, God so loved the world, but he loved the church and gave himself for it. So he had Peter, James, and John, that inner circle. And John was the disciple whom Jesus loved, a type of the church. In John 19, when he's on the cross, he says to John, "Behold thy mother of Mary," and he says to Mary, "thy son," and he took her into his house. Well, she had other kids, and they should have stood in, and he turned her over to John because he was going back. John was taking his place just like the church has today. So John is the type of the church without a doubt. Now, in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, 2, and 3, he's dealing with the church and the churches through chapter 1, 2, and 3. And then suddenly, John, who's the type of the church, hears a voice like a trumpet. Immediately he's in the Spirit, and he's caught up to a throne in heaven. And the church is not seen again except up in the third heaven. So that's the first time in Revelation that a door's opened in heaven and something goes up. I ain't it out in my mind what just took place. So if somebody today tells you we're way over in the book of Revelation, they're wrong. And these guys, I saw some guy comes on, he's got end time prophecies on TBN, and you can't ever, one eye looks this way and one this way. I don't know if he's looking where, but he says in Revelation 9, those things in the pit, those are helicopters. Now, I was in the Army. I ain't ever seen a helicopter what looked like that. I'm sorry, I ain't. But I'll tell you what I learned. The Lord taught me a real lesson, real early. This King James Bible is the Word of God. The Holy Ghost revealed that to me. I didn't get that from anybody else. And having believed that, the Lord revealed to me the rapture of the church in Revelation chapter 4. I never heard of it before. You understand, I mean, I came out of a rough background. I run the bars. I was in fist fights, knife fights, gun fights. I've been in jail. I've been in car wrecks. I've been in all kinds of a mess. And when God saved me, I walked away from that and began to read a Bible. I mean, you talk about a culture shock, man. But I mean, the Lord began to show me this stuff. I never heard of it. And for 5 years, man, I was a Southern Baptist, and I'm not knocking them. They do a lot of good, and they help me, and I'm thankful for all the good they did for me. But I was working with a young man named Don Cook, and he kept saying, "You need to listen to Peter S. Ruckman." And so I asked a fellow, my father-in-law, in fact, I said, "You ever hear of Peter Ruckman?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "What do you think about it?" He said, "Yeah, he shoots a lot of blanks." So I wouldn't listen to him. For 5 years, I wouldn't listen to him at all. I wouldn't read none of his stuff. And I went through 3 years of Carson Newman College with an instructor, and I got a little certificate somewhere that says I know something. Don't believe it. But having been through all that, 5 years, man, and I was reading this book, I was knocking on doors, I was preaching in the street, I was going in beer joints and passing out gospel tracts. I didn't know you weren't supposed to do stuff like it. Hey, what happened to God's people? Some of y'all right here, when you got saved, you were fired up and excited. I don't know what happened, but I don't believe God pulled your backbone out and put in a wet noodle and some French fries for ribs. I think somewhere we backslid on God and we lost the burden. Hey, there ain't nothing wrong with going in there and telling them sinners how they need to get right. Hey, when Al Hearn was over here, me and Al was on visitation, I drove by a beer joint and pulled up and said, "Let's go in here." Al had this look on his face like, "You've lost your mind." I thought a guy that can go to Israel and deal with that bunch has to have some courage. We walked in there. We preached for about 15 minutes. We passed out gospel tracts to everybody in that bar. Nobody said a word. And on the way out, this lady said, "Pray for us, preacher, we need it." Amen. Hey, they appreciated somebody being concerned about their soul. And the problem is we get so, we can't do it. We're afraid somebody might look at us cross-eyed. Well, I don't have any, my reputation was shot a long time ago, so I don't have to worry about it. I can just carry on. I mean, really, when you preach in the street and places I've preached for years, people just expect you to be a nut. So I like it. I mean, I tell them, man, you squirrels are going to have it rough when us nuts are gone. Amen. So, premillennial, you and I have been delivered from the wrath to come. I'm certain of that. The church, the body of Christ, we're part of Him. We're not going through any part of Daniel's 70th week, according to this book. Now, I don't have time to run all these references tonight, so you bear with me, and hopefully you'll get something out of it. But now, consider this. In the Old Testament, before a man was crowned king, go to 1 Kings chapter 1, and the Bible will tell you in verse 33 and verse 38, before a man is crowned king, what happens is he rides the king's mule. All right, this is the guy that's going to be the next man on the throne. He rides the king's mule. Now, that's customary. You can find that in the verses I just gave you. And so what happens is, after he's rode the mule and this man has been crowned, if you go to chapter 4, he rides a horse. Now, that's in the book. I didn't make that up. In Matthew chapter 21, when Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem, he was riding a colt, the foal of an ass. Is that not true? Amen. And the next time you see him in the second advent, hey, what I'm preaching tonight is we'll be riding white horses when we come. Amen. It may be a supernatural horse, but it's still a horse. Amen. People say, are there animals in heaven? I don't know. In Acts 10, Peter saw a giant sheet lit net and let down out of heaven with all kind of animals in it. But I know this. He rode the donkey. I know what's next. Now, I'm glad I'm on the winning side. Amen. This Bible says in Isaiah 31:3 that God's horses are not flesh. No, sir. God is a spirit and His horses are spirit. And they show up in 2 Kings 2 and 2 Kings 6. They're horses of fire. God's angels are ministering spirits. God is a spirit in distinction from other spirits. You see, the New Bible's got it wrong. They say God is spirit.
I don't tell you nothing. The King James says God is a spirit. You got the spirit of the world. You got the spirit of beast, the spirit of man. You got unclean spirits. God is a spirit in distinction from other spirits. The King James is right, the rest of them are wrong. Amen, that's right. Now, that's simple enough, but you ought to have enough confidence in this book to think, hey, what God said is right. It don't matter what Dr. Smellfungus thinks about it. Now, and I'm not against doctors, but don't misunderstand me. I mean, there's no premium on ignorance, you know. But some of them are educated beyond their intelligence, I'm afraid. Anybody corrects this book's wrong. I don't care who they are. But having said all that, now, that brings me to the message. And I promise, it's a 3-hour message, but I'll try to preach it in 30 minutes. I got to go to the radio station, so you know you're going to get a break. Bill Sunday, he's one of my favorite characters. And Sam Jones, man, I love both of them guys. I've read books about them and their sermons. But Bill Sunday was about to preach at a businessman's fellowship. And one of the businessmen, who he traveled a lot, his wife came to Bill Sunday and said, Bill, do you preach that a man ought to be faithful to his wife? And Bill said, yes, ma'am, I do. And she said, do you preach it strong, Bill? He said, I preach it strong, ma'am. And he said, ma'am, I tell you what you do. You go home, you go in your bedroom at 2:00, close the door, and you kneel and pray. While I knock down, drag out, and skin. And he said, if ever God gave mortal man liberty, he gave me liberty that day. And so I hope tonight God will give me liberty, because I'm going to preach a message in Scott County. It's probably controversial, but it shouldn't be, because it's the Word of God. Now, I believe this, and I'm telling you this is what I believe, and I'm going to lay it out. Like I said, if you don't agree with me, check the references out and prove me wrong. But I want to say, first of all, now go to Revelation chapter 19. I said all that to get to this. And you know the passage. Some folks, it's scary. When God first called me to preach, I had every preacher that I knew telling me, stay away from the book of Revelation. Stay out of it. It's controversial. It causes confusion. It divides churches. Just stay away from it. And nobody'd preach out of it. I went to a church one night to preach, and as soon as I announced my text, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, I intended preaching on the rapture. Half the people got up and left. As soon as I said, turn to Revelation, they got up and left, man. Oh, well, I'll preach to the bunch that's here anyhow. But I mean, really, it shouldn't be divisive, but with a lot of folks it is. But you ought to know what you believe about it. But now notice, in Revelation chapter 19, and let's begin in verse 11. And I saw heaven open. This is the second time. And behold, a white horse. Now, this is a supernatural horse, of course. Of course. It really is. But it's still real. It's still literal. If God uses a figure, he defines the figure. When the scripture says he had a sword proceeding out of his mouth, who doesn't know what that was? I mean, if the word of God's a sword of the Spirit, if the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, if that's the Word of God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, I mean, then I don't have any problem figuring out what he's talking about. I mean, Jesus Christ, his name is said to be the Word of God. So I'm sure that's true. Now, there's three parts to everything. You got Old Testament, New Testament, and then you got the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I mean, that's true of anything. There's three parts to you, just like there is God the Trinity. I mean, God works by threes and by sevens. Seven completes a thing, eight's a new beginning. I mean, that's true of the notes, isn't it? I mean, don't you have seven, and then this eighth is up, an octave up from the seventh, and it's something different? I mean, it's a new beginning. I don't know nothing about music, but that's what I've read. I hope that's true. But I do know seven completes a thing, and eight starts it. David, in one instance, is said to be the seventh son of Jesse, and another the eighth. Not only does he complete it, he starts something new. I like that. It's all in the book. But notice, this white horse, and he that sat upon it was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture, dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, this is the revelation of the King of Kings. That's what the book of Revelation is about. Why would you not want to read it? Hey, I'm on the winning side. I'm not scared of what's in here. I mean, if somebody gets up and says that stands for purity and power, okay, so it does. It's still a horse. I mean, you know, that stands for a nose, but it's still a nose. I'm glad it is. I'd hate not to have one. But I mean, really, so what? I mean, people want to use a figure and a... But this is the revelation of the King of Kings. You think about it. The day's coming. We've preached about him. I mean, I've been preaching about him for 35 years. I have not yet seen him except through the eyes of faith. And one of these days, he's going to get what he's got coming to him. Brother, God has promised him some things, and he's going to get them. And there ain't enough devils in hell to stop it. And there ain't enough all-millennials to keep it from happening. There ain't enough post-millennials to keep it from happening. There ain't enough followers, ragheads, old Mohammed. No, sir. He is going to do what God said he was going to do. That day's coming. I'm on the winning side. Hey, I'm going to be riding along behind him on a white horse in fine linen. Hey, after the judgment's complete, after that's all settled, boy, we're going to have us a time. We're going to come down here for a 1,000-year honeymoon. Oh, you pardon me. I run out this door in a minute. I'll come around. I'll be back. Just hold your place. But I'm telling you, it's real. It gets newer and better. I got preaching up here Friday in the street, and I almost run through the traffic. Man, I got excited. I got fired up. I got preaching, and I couldn't stop, man. People come by, and my old drinking buddies from years ago pulled up there, man. I got right in their window. And boy, you talk about giving them to them. Them guys were stuffing whole cigarettes down their mouth. Man, I had me a time. But I get excited about it. It's real. I ain't talking about secondhand stuff. I read it myself. I know what God said about it. I'm a part of this thing. I look back, man, I was raised rough on grape rough. I ought to be in hell when my back broke. The fella lived like I lived before God saved me. Got no business being a part of this. But for some reason, God saved me. For another reason, he called me to preach. I can't explain it, but boy, I sure am glad. I may not be much. I'm like Bobby Utley said. I may be a dog, but I'm his dog. Amen. I like it. Thank God for the grace of God. And I'm looking forward to the day when he gets what he's got coming to him. He'll be revealed. That's what the revelation's about. It's a revealing. It's not something that's hidden and, you know, apocalyptic and all this nonsense. That's just some educated, trying to pull one over on you. Brother, God said what he meant. He meant what he said. Our job is to read it and believe it. If we don't understand it, keep reading it. He'll explain it. I mean, the one that wrote it knows more about it than anybody else. So the revelation of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Hey, that day's coming. Now, this fellow that runs around with this beanie cap on says he's a potentate. Don't believe it. He ain't. Although I would like to ride that go-kart one time. The Bible says, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who only hath immortality, dwelleth in the light which no man can approach unto, which no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. You pardon me. That ought to stir you up. That ought to put some fire in your feet. That ought to get you wanting to move. Hey, I'm telling you, he is worthy tonight. You know what's going on in heaven? They're praising him. They're not worried about LeBron James. They could care less if the Heat wins or not. They don't care who won softball today. They're not concerned about NASCAR racing up there. I'm telling you, what they're interested in doing is worshiping the Lamb of God, which took away the sin of the world. Amen. I think we ought to just get a head start, don't you? Do you good every now and then, run the bases and shout about something besides a pay raise. Hey, amen. Now, I hope you get a pay raise, but probably won't hold out. Barack Bin Laden will get the most of it. He'll send the IRS after you, man. Or the Justice Department, maybe. Why was that a surprise? I mean, he's a socialist. Notice the nations will try to hide in fear from him. Now, I don't have to worry about it. Brother, when I look into them eyes that are in a flame of fire, there's going to be that compassion and grace and love because I'm a part of him. I'm a part of his bride. I'm a part of his body. Hey, I'm not worried about it. I'm not going to hell, no, sir. I don't say I look forward to the judgment seat of Christ with all, you know. I mean, I'm certain there's more I could do and could have done and should do. But I'm not going home empty-handed, no, sir. And I'm telling you, once that thing is settled, we're coming back. Yes, sir. This lady was talking to a preacher one time, and she said, "Boy, I got me a one-way ticket to glory." And he said, "Well, you're going to miss a whole lot." He said, "I got me a return trip." He said, "Because we're coming back." Amen. That's right. I'm glad I'm a part of it. Jesus Christ. Nations will try to hide when they see him coming. You think about that. This is the one in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. This is the one that said, "Let there be," and there was. I mean, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, God Almighty. This is the one when he said, "That's how it is," that's how it is. He brought all this into being from nothing. You want to know why these scientists will never duplicate it? That's why. Now, I'm sorry, folks, if you believe in evolution, I feel sorry for you. But now, consider this. If you knew your mom and dad, neither one of them were monkeys, right? Why would you think he came from a monkey? I mean, honestly. I do know for a fact some of my relatives hung by their neck. His relatives did it to him. But none of them hung by their tail. No, sir. Nothing like a deep Bible study, are they? But really, folks, honestly, we're talking about the living God and the nations. Notice what it says. The heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together. Every mountain and island were moved out of their places. The kings of the earth and great men and rich men and chief captains and mighty men and every bondman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Exactly. How do you resist God Almighty? Well, the devil is an eternal optimist, evidently, because he will resist, even knowing the outcome. I mean, it's already written. And after 1,000 years of the reign of Jesus Christ, he'll still kick up another rebellion. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, the tenacity. Boy, we ought to have that kind of tenacity when it goes after doing something for Jesus Christ. But they will try to hide for fear. It doesn't worry about it. Man, I'm on the winning side. I don't have to worry about hiding for fear. He's coming to judge, and he's coming to make war. You think about that. You go back in 2 Kings chapter 19. I believe it's around verse 35. And the angel of the Lord, a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ, he killed 185,000 men in one night and didn't even work up a sweat. You just imagine when Jesus was on the cross, had he called for 12 legions of angels, that's 72,000. Wouldn't it have been an amazing thing had he done that? There wouldn't have been nothing left breathing on this planet by day. I mean, there wouldn't have been. Well, I'm glad he didn't. I'm glad, thank God, he just took it so we could get saved, man, and get in on this thing. Thank God. Well, he's coming. The Bible says he hates all the workers of iniquity. You won't hear that on CNN or TBN or any. You're not going to. I've listened today. I try to listen every day, Christian radio and television. And I'll tell you, I couldn't tell you when was the last time I heard a sermon on hell or the judgment of God. They don't preach about that stuff. It's not good for the income. I think a lot of these radio ministries are a joke. I don't think God's even involved with it. All they do is spend time begging and pleading for money. I'm sorry, if the Lord called you to do it, He'll take care of it. I've been on this radio station up here 35 years, and I say all the time, don't send me your money, I don't want it. And the bill's paid every week in advance, and it's been like that for 35 years. You explain that one. Hey, if God's in it, it'll work. And that's a fact. And I don't care whether we can see how or not. If God's in it, it'll work. But these people will try to withstand Him. The Bible says God's angry with the wicked every day. I think I read that Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. God hates people. God is love. The God of love hates people. Well, that's a scary thought, isn't it? I'm glad I'm on His side tonight. Now, hey, if you're saved, don't get that. Don't. Some of you got a face right now long enough to put a bridle on. Man, if you're saved, you don't have to look that way, man. We're on the winning side. We can shout. We can enjoy ourselves. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I mean, the joy of the Lord's your strength. It's good to enjoy the Lord once in a while, ain't it? I mean, really. He's coming. He's coming in opposition to the amillennialists, the postmillennialists, the JFWs. You better believe it. They'll find out what the real watchtower is in that day. But I mean, He's coming in opposition to the mystery Babylon, the great Roman whore. He's coming in opposition to the UN. He's coming in opposition to the unseen forces of Satan and hell itself. Brother, He's coming, and there ain't nothing. After a while, he that shall come, and will not tarry. Brother, when it's up, it's up. Now, I'm glad I'm saved tonight. Now, if the Lord decides to call me home before this event, that's all right. I mean, if I get out of here before the rapture, if I go by way of the grave, all right, that's fine. I'm ready. And I don't even consider it. I don't. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm good in heaven with the door shut. I'm seated together in Christ in heavenly places. That was settled 38 years ago. I've never looked back. I'm saved irregardless of my critics. I'm saved irregardless of my enemies. I'm saved irregardless of my friends. I'm so saved I couldn't be any more saved. And I'm happy as a dead pig in the sun. Amen. I'm just going to have me a time and carry on. I mean, however it works out, it'll go. But I'm ready either way. But you think about this. For all the centuries, the Lord has seen all this stuff that goes on down here. You think about it. I mean, just in this country, in our time, look at 40 million plus abortions. This country is running with blood of innocents. You look at the murderers that we refuse to execute. Well, this book says they ought to be executed. I'm for it. I don't care. I mean, that's what the book says. And we usually treat the victims' families like the criminals. And we feed these guys and clothe them and give them health care. I mean, you think God's seen all. God's seen Auschwitz and Treblinka and all. I mean, God saw all that. He saw what took place in Fox's Book of Martyrs. Those martyrs being burned and soaked and torn. The garden lit with their burning bodies. And He saw the martyrs of the 20th century. For centuries, God has seen that kind of stuff. And brother, when the day that He's revealed, He's coming as God Almighty, and He's going to cut loose, and He's going to give them what they got. And you read the first six verses of chapter 19, we're going to be shouting glory to God. Hallelujah. Give it to them. Give it to them. Pour it on them. Amen. Hey, that's right. You guys got a queasy stomach. You better get it over it. Hey, don't worry about it. That day's coming. We're going to be just like Him. Amen. We'll see things a little different. That's right. But He's going to cut loose. And brother, the pent-up wrath of God, I'm glad I'm on the winning side. Amen. Well, when He comes, He's wearing many crowns. You think about that one. The Bible says the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever. Now, I'm glad that day's coming. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And Luke chapter 1, when the angel announced to Mary that He would be born, the announcement was, I'll give unto Him the throne of His father David. Now, He hadn't got that yet. Isaiah 9 said He would get it. And that day's coming. He hadn't got it yet, but the day's coming when He will have the throne of David. He'll sit on that throne, He'll be wearing many crowns. You read in Revelation 12, the devil appears as a seven-headed dragon with seven crowns. Isn't that amazing? That might have some connection. I mean, he's wearing many crowns after all. Wouldn't that be something? But when he comes, he's coming as King of Kings over the literal, earthly, Davidic kingdom and Lord of Lords over the spiritual kingdom of God. He's going to have it all. I mean, when he went back, the kingdom of heaven went with him. And when the church goes, the kingdom of God's gone. And the only thing left is the kingdom of death, hell, and damnation, the Antichrist. That's right. I'm glad I'm saved. Hey, don't look sad, man. If you're saved, you don't have to worry about it. Now, if you're here tonight and you got in on this mess and you're lost, I'm telling you, the judgment of God ain't far away. And the lake of fire is a real place. I saw my dad at 9 years old. My dad was shot and died in our home there. I saw him die begging somebody pull him out of the fire. Now, I always believed in a hell because of that. But having read the Bible and it telling me that in the heart of the earth is molten lava, a lake of fire. And I pick up a science book and it tells me that the heart of the earth is a lake of fire. The very core and foundation of this planet is a lake of fire. It's molten lava. So I'm certain there is a real hell, and I'm certain that lost people, their soul goes there at death. And if you're here tonight and you've never been saved, I would encourage you to get to this altar at the invitation time and trust Jesus Christ, and you'll never be sorry. Well, he'll be wearing many crowns. It'll not be a crown of thorns. That'll never happen again. No, sir. He was on the rocks only smitten once. And it gave forth the water. Brother, next time you just speak to it and it'll give forth. It's all by faith. And that, I mean, he'll never wear that crown of thorns. You think about that. He wore that crown of thorns for all the wrong thoughts we've thought, for all the wrong things we've looked at and listened to and come out of our mouth. Hey, he had those nail prints in his hands for places we put our hands we shouldn't have. He had those nail prints in his feet for places our feet took us they shouldn't have. He got that spear in the side because our heart, like those Pharisees, we draw nigh to him with our mouth, we honor him with our lips, but our heart is far from it. And he took all of that in our place, bore our sin in the body on the tree, that you and I could have life, and that more abundantly. I don't care if you got any money or not. I tell my wife, man, someday we may have money. I mean, we're rich already. That's the truth. I don't know, if we ain't got no money, so what? Think about it. I mean, Americans, it's all based on how much you got and how much you don't have. And, you know, I mean, isn't that it? Well, they've got a two-car garage over there. I got two cars, but I don't have a garage. Oh, well, I must be living in poverty, you know. But he's coming, and he's wearing many crowns. He's going to take possession of what's rightfully his. Isn't that something? He's going to get what God promised him. And you notice Isaiah 63:1 says that he is traveling, he is glorious in his apparel. Isn't that something? And you read about it, and he's covered in blood. And the Bible says he's glorious. I mean, the way God looks at it, we wouldn't think that, would we? I mean, if you saw a pool of blood right there, your first thought wouldn't be, oh, look at the precious blood. And yet, in 1 Peter 1, we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And he's coming back and he's covered in blood. And the Bible says he's glorious in his apparel. Now, that's the way God looks at it. I mean, give it to them, man. They got it coming, they're going to get it. I mean, there isn't anybody, and I know around these parts, that hadn't had an opportunity to hear the gospel and get saved. If you're here tonight and you're lost, it's your choice. You could be saved. Isn't any reason why not? You just turn a deaf ear to the gospel. I mean, it happens. It happens pretty regular. But you think about it. If you've never been saved, boy, I tell you, you'd do good to come to the Savior and do it today. He is no longer the lowly Galilean. He's the one with eyes as a flame of fire, head and hairs white like wool. His voice is the sound of many waters. Boy, and I'm telling you, he in his risen, resurrected form
God Almighty. Boy, you pardon me, but I get excited. Man, that's the one I've been serving. That's the one I'm looking forward to seeing. John said, I had some more things I wanted to write with a pen and ink, but I'll wait and see you face to face. Boy, I'm glad he wrote down all he wanted to write, and the next thing, boy, we're going to see him face to face. Well, you pardon me, but that's going to be an exciting time. But I hit the street of gold, I'm going to be kicking up gold dust. If I didn't get a new body, man, I'd be flying all over that place. I'd look like a balloon that somebody let the air out of. I'd be bouncing off of mansions and who knows what. We talk about having a time. Hey, it's real. Hey, I believe this stuff just sure as I believe John 3:16. Well, I don't understand people. Oh, well, yeah, John 3:16, I believe that. You read Revelation 19. Oh, well, now, I wouldn't go that far. I'll tell you what it'll do for you, though. You get to be one of these old white horse preachers, they call it. You limit your scope of activity when it comes to preaching. Now, there's a whole lot of churches. Oh, that guy, I can't have him in here. He's a white horse preacher. He might scare somebody. Well, I ain't trying to scare you. I'm just telling you the truth. I know this. He's glorious in his apparel and in his risen, resurrected form as God Almighty. You won't spit on him. Brother, you spit on him, the next time he comes, he'll put you in the lake of fire so fast it'll make your head spin. You read Isaiah 34, during the millennium, the lake of fire will stretch from Bozrah to Babylon. And Isaiah 66, 24, you can walk by and look at the people in there burning. Hey, somebody, you don't even want to call somebody a fool during that time, brother. The Lord tossed you in there so fast, you better believe it. People say, you believe that? It's in the book. Why don't I believe it? I mean, honestly, it's in there. Look at it and read it. I mean, if you say, thou fool, he said, you're in danger of hell fire, man. Matthew 5, 6, and 7, those are the rules that will govern that kingdom. Isn't that something? Isn't it amazing how if you just rightly divide, you don't have to change nothing. It just all goes together like God wrote it. Boy, isn't that something? Now, I hope I ain't losing you. I'm hurrying. I'm really trying my best to hurry here. I said I got a three-hour message, and I really do, and I'm trying to preach it in 30 minutes, and that's hard to do. I do that on the radio all the time because they cut you off. They don't care. When you get 30 minutes, man, you're off. If you ain't done, too bad. Notice, secondly, not only is this the revelation of the King of Kings, it's the revelation of the conquering warrior. Now, I like that. I really do. The Lord is a man of war. We sing these songs, Onward Christians. You know, they're taking those out of the song books. Man, what's wrong with these people? You no longer, they don't want these marching orders, you know. I don't know. I was raised different. I was raised to kind of be patriotic. I mean, I was raised watching Audie Murphy and Sergeant York and these guys, man. And, you know, everybody in my family had been in the military, all the guys. My dad was in the Navy and all my brothers were in the Army and a couple in Vietnam. And I served during Vietnam. My other brother did too. I mean, to me, it was just, when I got out of high school, I went and joined the Army. I that's the thing you do. I mean, the country's at war. If you're going to enjoy these freedoms, you ought to be willing to fight for it. What happened to that spirit, man? We're losing our freedoms in this country day by day, and nobody's willing to fight. I mean, oh well, the way it is. I don't like it. I like freedom. I really do. I don't like the government telling me what to do or when to do it either. I really believe God can take better care of me than the government can. And I believe that God can take better care of my kids than the government can too. That didn't cost nothing. I just threw that in. Now I'm not doing the message. But notice, he's a conquering warrior. He's captain of the Lord's host. Joshua saw him in chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 2 declares he's the captain of our salvation. He is a conquering warrior. He's coming to judge and to make war. He's coming to fight. There ain't going to be no more, you know, God is love and let's all get along and none of that stuff, mother. He's coming and he's coming. It's like the drawing, you know, Jesus Christ is coming back and boy, is he mad. I mean, man, that's it. He's coming and he's coming with destruction on his mind. He told Pilate, he said, if my kingdom were of this world, he said, my servants would fight. And he said, but now is my kingdom not. But the day's coming when it will be. And brother, there's going to be some fighting going on. You and I, we ain't going to have to fight. Man, I'm just going to sightsee.
I mean, there's two routes of the second advent given in the Scripture. And one of them, he treads the winepress alone, Isaiah 63. And so when this great column, his army coming out of heaven, riding white horses. Now, I always tell these guys this, if you're all millennial, in Judges chapter 5, it says, speak ye that ride on white asses. I always say, you guys have to ride a donkey. Now I'm joking. Well, halfway. But seriously, man, we're going to be riding along, and somewhere down here, the Lord's going to stop this column. And we're going to stop and go to parade rest. And then he's going to tread the wine press alone. Now, you know what a wine press is. You've seen, I mean, the vat where the guys get in there and stomp around and stomp all them grapes and just smash everything, and all that juice runs out, and man, they got this stuff splattered all over them, and that's exactly what it's going to be like. There's going to be, according to Revelation 9, Revelation 14, there's going to be 200 million United Nations soldiers gather around Jerusalem from the east. And about the time it looks like Israel's goose is cooked. Yeah. There used to be an old commercial years ago. The good guys wear a white hat. Well, the good guys ride a white horse. Brother, the old Lone Ranger, he'd always come in right at the last minute and rescue the dame, you know, that was tied down on the railroad tracks or something. Brother, it's really going to be that way. When it looks like that remnant of Israel, their goose is done, and there's no hope, man, he's coming in, and he's coming in like a threshing machine, and the blood's going to run to the horse's bridle. And I mean, that down that valley of Ashkelon, Megiddo, I mean, Armageddon, the hill of the crowded, I mean, 200 million gathered up there, and he's just going to stomp and stomp. And man, when he gets done, he's going to be covered in the blood of his enemies, and you and I are going to be shouting glory to God, having us a time. I mean, yes sir, he's coming, and he's going to set it right, brother. And I'm telling you, when he gets done, there will be no doubt who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And according to this Bible, when we go back to attention and begin our trek on to Jerusalem, we'll dip our feet in the blood of his enemies. You'll find that in the book of Psalms in a couple of different places. And Psalm 58:10, Psalm 68:23, we'll dip our feet in their blood. Now, I don't have time to read all these references, you understand. I'm about done. Just stay with me a couple of more minutes and I'll get done, I hope. But he's unleashing the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. That's all there is to it. He's going to turn it loose. Boy, I mean, he's going to roar. I mean, whew, boy, you talk about something. When I was a kid, if it thundered, like we had a thunder, I woke up this morning sometime, it was thundering, man, loud. And when I was a kid, my mom would always say, shh, be quiet. Lord speaking. I never really knew what she's talking about until I read John 12. And some folks, when he spoke from heaven, thought it thundered. So evidently his voice must sound like thunder. Well, wouldn't that be something? You gathered up there and you think, man, we've got them. We've got them, the Antichrist and the false prophet. They've come out there, man. They've got this great army gathered. And I mean, Satan incarnate. And they are about to finish off, they think. And about that time you hear a voice like thunder roar, boy. And I'm telling you, man, oh man, I'm glad I'm on the winning side. I'm glad, thank God, one day after a while, he's going to get what he's got coming to him. Jude says that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, preached about it before Noah's flood. He was preaching the second coming of Christ before Noah's flood. This ain't some new doctrine, folks. This ain't something I dreamed up. Man, this is Bible. And I'm sorry if Scott County don't want to believe it. It don't change it. That's what it says. Now, I'll have a different outlook when I get my new body. I'll be like Jesus Christ, so I probably won't do it. But if the Lord will let me, I'll say, I told you so. Now, thirdly, and I'll be done, you'll see the revelation of a righteous dictator. I said dictator. He's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. A righteous dictator. And nothing like we've got now. Nothing like we've had. I mean, he will always do right. That's all there is to it. I mean, if you're saved, you've already voted. You want him. That's right. He's a righteous dictator, and he's coming to reign over this earth for 1,000 glorious years. Six times in seven verses in Revelation 20, it says he's going to reign for 1,000 years. It's not an indefinite period of time. It's not a figure. It's not apocalyptic. It says 1,000 years. That's exactly what it means. He's going to reign for 1,000 years. And the best part of it is, you and I, if we're faithful, are going to have a part in this. The world to come, according to Luke 19, has literal cities, has literal rulers over these cities. And the Bible says he's made us kings and priests unto our God, and we shall reign on the earth. You think about this. I don't know how many people have been saved over the last 2,000 years, but we're all going to look just like Jesus Christ. All around this world, I mean, the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth like the seas. If a man preaches during that time, his parents are supposed to kill him. I mean, you read it in the book. You don't need to preach. You can see him anywhere in this world. We're going to be all over this world, man. Isn't that something? But consider this. He says, it's a faithful say. If we be dead with him, we'll live with him. If we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he'll deny us. He'll deny us reigning with him. Wasn't that scary?
Yeah.
And he goes on to say, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. You go to Galatians 5, and if you live after the flesh, you can lose your inheritance. And the inheritance deals with the world to come.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
I'm telling you, it does pay to serve Jesus Christ now. It does. It honestly does. It bears eternal future rewards. But brother, at the judgment seat of Christ, you can use your rewards. You can lose your inheritance. Man, I mean, Job said you can get in by the skin of your teeth. That's cutting it pretty close. But I ain't going home empty-handed. I can't speak for anybody but myself. I've got a lot I'm going to be ashamed of at the judgment, but I'm not going home empty-handed. I have done a few things for him that was for him, for no other reason, and hopefully I'll be rewarded. But you go to 2 John, brother, you support somebody that teaches false doctrine, and you'll lose your rewards. People think we're being unkind to JFWs and you know, Moonies and Armstrong and all that bunch. People think we're being unkind by telling them off. The Bible says we're not to even bid them Godspeed, because in so doing we're partaking of their evil deeds. Now, JFW comes to my house, I don't say have a nice day. I say, man, get out of here before I turn my German Shepherd loose. No, not really. I didn't say that. I was sitting at my desk. Now I'm done. I'll quit right here in a minute. I really. But I was sitting at my desk reading. A vehicle pulls up, and this guy and woman gets out, and I knew as soon as I saw him what it was, and knocks on the door, and he says, we're just out here with these pamphlets to help people understand their Bible. I said, you read your Bible? I said, yes, sir. That's what I was sitting here doing when you pulled up. And he said, well, we can pass out these Watchtower or whatever they are, something or other. And I said, nah, I don't need that junk. I got a King James Bible and Holy Spirit to teach me. I said, I don't need that stuff. I started preaching to him. He said, you read. I said, man, I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm just good. I mean, I started preaching, man, and they got in their vehicle and left. My wife was in, and she went in the other room, and she came back in. She said, man, they didn't stay long. I said, nah, evidently they didn't like what I had to say. But, I mean, I ain't going to tell them have a nice day. They're spreading false doctrine. And I ain't going to tell them, hey, Lord, you know, Lord bless you. No, sir, ain't going to happen. I'm going to tell them to hit the road. These guys riding around with their beanie caps on their bicycles? No, sir. Old Joe Smith, he said Daniel's 70th week would take place in his lifetime. He died in 1888. According to Deuteronomy 18, he's a false prophet and not to be taken seriously. nor any of his followers. Now, I don't have nothing to do with the message. I saw it throw that in. But Jesus Christ is coming as a righteous dictator to reign over this earth. His name's called the Word of God. That's the point when they'll beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and nation will not rise against nation, neither will they learn war anymore. Man, they'll do away with West Point and all these places. Man, the earth will produce four crops a year. Man, I'm telling you, it's going to get good. Man, there may be watermelons big as automobiles. You think that, man. Saw the end out, up both ends out with a chainsaw and just eat all the way through that thing, boy. Yes, sir. It's going to get like God intended it to start with. Amen. Before sin came in and ruined it all. Amen. So, we're going to reign with Him if we're faithful. If you haven't been, you can get that way. Amen. Now, I'm going to close here. I really ain't done. I mean, I know I've just skimmed the surface on all of this. But like I said, it's a 3-hour message. And to try to preach it in 30 minutes is almost impossible. But I hope you got something out of it. Now, I'm going to give an invitation. If you need to do business, you can come. If not, I won't drag this thing out. We'll play through a chorus or so, and then we'll quit. And you can have your shower or whatever it is going on, and I'll go to the radio station. All right, will you bow your heads? And I'll ask somebody to come to the piano. Just, we won't drag this out. But I'm going to pray, and then if you need to come to the altar, you come. Like I said to start with, if you've never been saved, man, be glad to take a Bible, show you how to be saved. I mean, we can settle this thing just in a minute from the Word of God. But if you are saved and you really haven't been doing what you could have been doing or should, man, just get it right. And, I mean, I don't know your heart. You know what God may have said to you. And man, if you're right, amen, thank God for you. Lord, you have your way in this invitation. Lord, I pray you'll look beyond my foolishness. God, I pray you'll take the word, you'll minister it, you'll bear witness to the truth. And Lord, I pray you'll convict, you'll reprove, you'll rebuke, you'll edify. God, whatever's needed. Lord, should there be one lost, God, I ask you to convict them. Show them they need Jesus Christ this day before it's everlasting too late. Lord, whatever you do, we'll praise you. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand? If you need to come on.